you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's my last day in the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota. Trusting you had a great weekend, my friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann here with you with news that you can use on this Monday. Now, this isn't just any Monday. This Monday happens to be my daughter Shelby's birthday. Yes, indeed. August 17th, 28 years ago, Shelby Carlane was born. And I give a shout out to her. Happy birthday, honey. It's been wonderful to see her and her beautiful family. She's married to Nathan, and they have three beautiful daughters, Chloe, Collins, and baby Colby. It was fun to hang out last night. We all had a big picnic here at Mom and Dad's. I'm broadcasting from the Mom and Dad studio this morning. And as we're wrapping up and flying back to the Pacific Northwest today, I've had a lot of people send me emails and Facebook messages wondering, oh, we heard Antifa was in Sturgis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all 10 of them, maybe 20 at the most. And I was so impressed. Maybe you had a chance to look at the video of that or had a chance to Google it. If you just Google Sturgis 2020 and Antifa, you can see some video there. And I thought the bikers and Antifa, I thought they did pretty well there till the end when the main guy tried to kick a bike and not so much. The law enforcement officers didn't like that so much. That is on video. But overall, it was a very successful 80th Sturgis motorcycle rally. A lot of fun, and I hear next year is going to be bigger and better yet. Those that weren't able to come this year are planning on going to the 81st. And so what a beautiful time here in the Black Hills. Now, I understand it was a hot weekend in Salem and surrounding areas, over 100 degrees or so, and it's going to be hot again today, 94 degrees. So just want to remind you to be cautious. Certainly, if you drink lots of water and put sunscreen on, if you're outside. And we know that this doesn't last very long, the Pacific Northwest. And the nice thing is that it does cool down a little bit in the evening. So we want to make sure everything's locked tight and then open up those windows first thing in the morning, right? That's pretty much how it works. There's some good news coming out of Salem from the city. You may or may not have heard of this. Grant funding available for Salem nonprofits impacted by COVID-19. And so if you're a culturally or heritage-focused nonprofit organization and need some financial support due to the effects of COVID-19 pandemic, help is now available for Salem 501c3 organizations with physical presence open to the public that have been under mandatory change in service or closure due to COVID-19. The city of Salem is committed to supporting community nonprofits. Therefore, you can go to the city's website starting at 8 o'clock this morning and apply. So you can go there, cityofsalem.net. And find out more about this grant opportunity. I'm excited about that. I also want to encourage you to let us know if you have a community event coming up, something for your nonprofit, maybe your church, an outreach of some sort. Maybe you are going to do a recall Kate Brown activity somewhere. Let us know. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. And I want you to go there anyway to our website because we've got a brand new website. We launched it last week and we're so excited. I've been hearing really great feedback on our new website. Also, you can stream live. You can tell your friends to listen to us there. And I want to remind you also to like us on Facebook. You can find us at KSLM Radio. And thank you to Bill Sunderland for his wonderful sponsorship of our morning show, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Well, here in the Mom and Dad studio today, I brought in a guest I thought you'd be encouraged by. This is someone that I've been encouraged, and I've only known him for a couple of years. In fact, he married my very good friend, Cheryl, and I'm so impressed with his heart in his love of his country, of his family, and of God. And he has an incredible testimony and has an amazing way to outreach to people. And so I invited my friend Walter Rasmussen to join me this morning. And Walter, I want to welcome you to the morning show, and I want you to tell our friends a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, listeners. Like you said, my name is Walter Rasmussen. I'll tell you a little bit about my past so that you can know that God's grace is still available to those out there that are struggling with life-controlling problems. I spent a good part of my life addicted to pain pills on and off, and a lot of people know how hard that is to get off of, but I just want to remind you that with God, all things are possible. Today, I don't live like that anymore. I've been clean and sober for a number of years, and I give God all the credit for that. I pastor a small church in Newell, South Dakota, that's full of ranchers and just good down-to-earth people. Through this whole COVID thing, we only lost one couple. So we feel very blessed that most of the, you know, people of the church came back after COVID. And, you know, we're doing very well out here in South Dakota. You know, I'm grateful to be on the show this morning. I love talking about God and politics. And right now we see a lot going on in our country, and it seems to me that the left are trying to attack the church. We look at Gavin Newsom out in California. He wants to stop churches from being able to sing. We see this in other places around the country where they want to stop Christians from speaking out and meeting together. And we can't let that happen. It's important that we have the right to speak what we want to speak. It looks like there's an attack on the First Amendment, which is the most important amendment of the Constitution. That's the freedom of speech. We can't stop that. Right now, Google, Facebook, YouTube are taking down people that are speaking out conservatively, and they want to stop our voice. So, you know, I just, as a pastor, I want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ to go out there, because it's the gospel that changes people's lives. And that's what I believe with all my heart, because I'm a good example of how a life can be changed. So
you are here in South Dakota, and you are pastoring a small church in Newell, but I hear a little bit of an accent in your voice, and I know we're in the South because we're South Dakota. We're not North Dakota, right? Talk to us a little bit about, tell us a little bit about your story.
I was born and raised outside of Houston, Texas. That's where I got into most of my past life and got into some trouble and stuff like that. I love Texas. I'm not there anymore. I moved out of Texas in 1993 and moved up to the Black Hills and worked for a place called Teen Challenge, which helped young people get off of drugs and alcohol. Then I got into the phone book business, and phone books kind of died. So now I'm doing different things to make a living. I still have a lot of family in Texas. So Texas will always have a place in my heart. They say you can take a man out of Texas, but you can't take the Texas out of a man. So anyway, just glad to be in South Dakota and glad I get to be on the radio this morning. My heart is to help people, you know, get free from life-controlling problems. It can be eating. It can be drugs. It can be alcohol. It can be worry. If you're a person out there worrying to death over this COVID and you're walking in fear every day, God says he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us the ability to overcome fear through our faith. And it's not just faith in faith, it's faith in a person. And that person is Christ in Jesus. So
that's a great testimony. You know, we live, the Pacific Northwest was very impactful on my life growing up. And that's where I was introduced to God through the love and actions of community people, because we didn't go to church as a family. And so for me, I saw evidence in people's lives around me, God at work through their love and their kindness, right? And I'm reminded that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And so to stay encouraged as believers, and maybe those that are not sure, you know, I don't know if I need religion. I don't know about this whole God thing, because, you know, it might work for you, but it doesn't work for me. How do you know for you, your personal truth, that God is real? What evidence do you have that God is real?
the biggest evidence is how much I've changed. And sometimes I don't even realize how much I changed, but the people around me see the change. You know, as Stacy was speaking, I just was encouraged by the Lord to talk a little bit about depression. You know, I don't know if it was all the chemicals I was on or did I have depression before the chemicals I got on, but there's a lot of people right now suffering with depression. And, you know, God says he wants to set us free. And today I don't suffer with depression, and I believe it's because I stay in the Word. The Word is very powerful. Stacy asked me, how do I know? Well, I always tell people the Bible's the most incredible book ever written. And the reason why is because it's full of prophecies. Not only prophecies in the past, I'll give you one example. Like Jeremiah prophesied that the children of Israel would be in captivity for 70 years. 100 years later, they were in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. There's many examples in the Bible about prophecy. So the Word of God is living and active. So I spend time in the Word every day. I pray the Word over my life. A good suggestion I make with people is if you're suffering from fear, then memorize 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're suffering from depression, there's a verse in Psalm 118 that says, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So you can claim that throughout the whole day when bad thoughts come in, replace it with good thoughts of the Word. Well, like I said, when Stacy asked me, how do I know? Because I'm not anything like I used to be. I have 5 felonies on my record. I used to sell drugs and smuggle them from Karachi, Pakistan, Istanbul, Turkey, Bombay, India, Bogota, Colombia, Mexico. I don't do any of those kind of things anymore. I have never even thought of it in years. So I know the grace of God is alive and well today. If a person just reaches out, takes a little step of faith. I'm not talking about religion, a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about walking toward Christ, and he'll meet you where you are. You don't have to get good to come to God. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you've been through. He wants to meet you right where you are today. Just reach out and say, Jesus, I need some help. A simple prayer, a simple step of faith can open the door to things that are beyond your imagination.
What a powerful testimony. One of the things I like to say is God doesn't clean his fish before he catches them. We can come to him in any place that we are, and he works with us. He's such a good, loving Heavenly Father. He works where we're at, and he, and I think the world has this picture of the lightning strike and the catching on fire and the, you know, hellfire and brimstone. Hell's very real. We're not going to, you know, say that it isn't. In my belief system, there's heaven and hell, and why not spend eternity worshiping God? And so it's fun to hear testimonies like yours to see the difference and the change. And we all have where we've been, and as we mature in life, we think of our youthful days and the decisions that were made, and it's so nice to know that we have grace and mercy. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are enjoying a wonderful morning. We'll be back after this. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. It's going to be a warm day today, 94 degrees. Oh my goodness, it's 7:22 in the morning, and we're glad to be hanging out with you. You're listening to Stacy Ann and Walter this morning. I enjoy listening to Walter, and he brings such a spirit of encouragement, and he has a fantastic testimony of where he has been and where he is now. It's phenomenal, and he married my very good friend, Cheryl. They've been married newlyweds for about a year now, and even their story of how God brought them together. Cheryl had lost her husband 5 years ago in a tragic car accident, and was a widow, and it took us all by shock and surprise. She and her husband, Randy, were great friends of mine, and to see how God has brought Cheryl, Walter, and what a gift the two of them, and what a powerful ministry the both of them have. They both work with people in recovery. And their message and their ministry is powerful. And I know that they're going to do great things in the future. And I wanted Walter to come and share a little bit, not only about his personal testimony, but he's also very strongly opinionated, like myself, in politics. And I tell folks, you know, most people say out in the community, right, to be politically correct, oh, the two things you need to stay away from is religion and politics. And I would say that maybe that's why we are so in our far corners right now, because we haven't reasoned together and come together and try to understand why people feel the way they do about politics and religion or their perspectives. I think we do need to start having the conversation and figure out ways that we can talk to people and we could share why we believe what we believe in all those things. And I love the fact, you know, Billy Graham was very effective in reaching people for faith and for Christ and for God. And he lived a very God-filled life, and he was well-respected by many presidents over the years, but he just didn't get involved in politics at all. And isn't it interesting that his son, Franklin, is right in the middle of it? And Franklin himself has amazing testimony of walking away from the faith that his father so adamantly went around the country sharing. And now he's had a coming to Jesus, and now he's so effectively used in the trenches with Samaritan's Purse and relief all around the country. And certainly he has no problem talking about why it's important to stand for faith and to stand for our beliefs in politics. So tell me, Walter, a little bit about your political journey. Have you always been active in politics and vocal about it?
Well, when I was in high school, my favorite class was civics. And then when I got off the straight and narrow path and became addicted to drugs and stuff, I didn't really care about politics. But then in the late 90s, when I was getting cleaned up, I got interested in politics again. But anyway, I've got my right to vote back and all that because I've had some trouble. And today I'm very interested in politics. I talk to as many people as I can on Facebook. I'll give you an example. A lot of people post stuff on Facebook, and when someone, a friend that I hadn't seen in years, puts something out there that I don't agree with, I don't normally get in a word match with them on Facebook. What I'll do is send them a message through Messenger and just say, why do you believe that way? And you know, some people say, well, you can't change somebody's mind. Well, I know of one lady that I knew, you know, 30 years ago that I've connected with on Facebook that actually has changed her stance in her political views because we talk back and forth on Messenger. So, yes, people can change, and we have to have the spirit of love when we're talking to people. You know, don't go out in the attack mode. But I just see a lot of things that are going to be lost if we don't vote Trump back in this election. And a lot of people don't like Trump. They don't like the way he conducts himself. Well, if you're a Christian, I can give you some examples out of the Bible. One is King Cyrus. And I mentioned prophecy a little earlier. And Isaiah the prophet prophesied that Cyrus, King Cyrus, would lead the children of Israel out of Babylon in 536 BC, help them rebuild the temple, and he even named Cyrus by name. And Cyrus was shown these scriptures and said, wow, there's my name written 150 years before it actually happened. And he said, I got to do something. And so Cyrus can be like a Trump. Trump didn't live a Christian life. We know that. But God can still use a man. God's no respecter of person. He wasn't looking for a religious man. He was looking for a man that would listen to him. And I think that's what we have in Trump. Trump has done more for the church than any of the last presidents. He's done more for Israel than any president ever. If you know anything about biblical prophecy, Israel is the central focus point of the second coming of Christ. So here's this little bitty nation surrounded all these big nations that want to destroy it. But God, in 1948, established Israel as a nation again. And right now you see that nation flourishing. And then Trump came along in 2017 and made Jerusalem the capital of Israel again. So we see the hand of God working in these things politically, and we should be aware of that as Christians. And I never can understand how a person can call themselves a Christian and still vote for the Democratic Party because, number one, they kill so many babies. Over 60 million babies have died. And then they want to say they're for life, and we want to lock people down because we care about them in this COVID, this time of this COVID virus. how can you say you care about life and you're killing babies? And then you want people to believe that you really care about life and this virus. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like talking out of both sides of your mouth. So I look at things biblically. That's how I base politics. I base everything off the Bible because it's the Word of God. And, you know, when you go out and vote, just look at your candidate and see what they're really for. And we have to be careful when we're voting and find out that they have biblical values and they stand by them. So I'm going to turn it back over to Stacey.
That's such a good reminder for us that one of my favorite expressions is that God's not surprised by any of this right now. And there's also lots of scriptures about the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And I know people who knew Trump personally back in his younger days, and they knew the family, and they have testified to me personally that they know that he is a changed man, and that he does desire to serve God in his way, and he's learning, he's growing, he's learning. And wow, what a way to learn right in front of the public like that, and to change. You talk about your changed life, Walter. I believe President Trump's heart has changed, and he really wants to protect life. And maybe he had different stands in the past, but that's the whole story of becoming a believer in God's grace. He doesn't leave us where we're at. He takes us again. He doesn't clean this fish before he comes. We come to him. And the other thing is when we're voting, we're not voting for a pastor. We're voting for a business leader, someone to get back to business as usual. And so we're having a wonderful conversation today with Walter Rasmussen. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday, hopefully bringing you some encouragement today. We'll be back right after this. No matter where you're listening from, maybe you're in Salem, Silverton, Monmouth, Independence, how about South Dakota? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and this is my last day in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Tomorrow I'll be back in the studio, excited about our guest, Danielle Bethel, will be with us tomorrow morning, giving us an update on what's going on with the school, the Salem area schools, Salem-Keizer area schools, and then, of course, the Keizer Chamber and what's happening in her run for commission right there in Salem. So it'll be a good broadcast tomorrow morning. And then on Wednesday, we're going to check in with Bill Cummings. Yes, he's going to join in the conversation on Wednesday morning, talking about the best of Salem in the area of the Willamette Valley. And so it's going to be a fun week, and it'll be good to get back to the studio and back to all of you. So excited about all the things that's going on. Our brand new website that we have up and going, I want to encourage you to go there, kslm.news. Of course, you can stream there, share with your friends and family, and I'll get all the podcasts updated probably by tomorrow afternoon. We should have most of the podcasts up on our new website. So any of the shows that we've had over this last week, you'll be able to share with your friends and family. I want to give a shout out to Dave and Paige Smith. I want to thank them for coming alongside the morning show and being a sponsor as well. They have Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, and they're here to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Be sure to give them a call, 503-939-7099. And we're continuing the conversation this morning as we talk about how important it is for us to be involved in our community, to take a stand for, you know, these elections coming up. Well, how many days we have until... In Oregon, anyway, we've done the mail-in ballot for many years now, where that's part of the conversation nationwide because of COVID. They're trying to say, oh, because of COVID, we need to do mail-in ballots. And then we have the U.S. Post Office saying, we're not sure about all of this, and many communities. So there's a new highlight in the media going on about the whole, should we vote in person or not vote in person? Now, here's something interesting. You know, a lot of us are questioning the statistics. How true are they, right? The COVID presumptive and all the cases lumped together, and yet they don't really tell us how many really positive cases there are because they lump the presumptive. And that's not just in the Pacific Northwest. We just found out in Arkansas, you know, I used to live in Arkansas as well, and we have folks that listen in Arkansas. Arkansas, they just did a major adjustment to their numbers. Yes, they overcounted in Arkansas. So there's things, all things considered, we need to keep things in mind. And my thinking is, okay, since the 1st of July already, in our neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest, everybody has been mandated, quote unquote, to wear a mask. And why are we still having increase if the mask works so much, right? So there's things to question, things to consider. And again, I will maintain that there's really no chart monitoring common sense. We have no way to gauge that because it seems like it's gone completely out the window. Don't you agree with me? Hanging out with me today is Walter Rasmussen, and we're talking politics, a little bit about our faith as well and how that influences us. And I think it's been so easy, Walter, for people in the past to say, you know, I look at both candidates and I really just don't want to vote for either one of them because, you know, they don't completely line up with my values. And they're, you know, maybe they're a little rough on people like President Trump. He's a little rough with the way he addresses people, a little disrespectful, but he comes from New York. They're kind of rough and gruff like that. And he's a tough businessman. Remember, we loved him when he was on TV. You're fired. You know, everybody just thought, oh, he's so great. And you brought something to my attention just a few minutes ago about how in the 90s, all these movie stars and figures were pandering to Trump, thought he was just the greatest thing since sliced bread in the 90s, and all of a sudden the one's being so critical and thinks he's not so good. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, thank you, Stacey. In the 90s, like in 1991, if you remember, the Kennedys were for Donald Trump, the Clintons liked Donald Trump, Oprah Winfrey liked Donald Trump, Phil Donahue, which we don't see on TV anymore. They were all in favor of Donald Trump helping America get out of these trade agreements with China. And here we are some almost 30 years later, and we have Trump, a guy that knows how to do business, and everybody's against him. In 1991, he actually went before Congress and answered many questions about economy and how to get things straightened out. So again, he's a man that knows how to get things done. And as Stacey mentioned, he is a New Yorker, and in New York, they do things a little different than other people around the world. You gotta be tough and rough to do business in New York. And, you know, I was speaking a little bit a while ago about, you know, Bible and how God uses different types of men to get his message across. Again, you can look at Israel as a type of America or America as a type of Israel back in the ancient days. I'm going to give you an example of another man in the Bible. And at the time, there was a king named Ahab and a queen named Jezebel. Everybody knows the name Jezebel because we think of a wicked woman, right? Well, this wicked woman, we often think of sexual wickedness, but actually Jezebel stands for dominance over men, to dominate men. And this Jezebel was an evil woman, and her husband went along with it. So there, the country was taken away from God, Israel. They had child sacrifice. They were living in all kind of sin, kind of like we are today, all kind of sexual immorality. There was all kind of, you know, people had identity issues. Am I transgender? Am I gay? Am I, you know, what am I? All that was going on back then. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun ever. So here's this Ahab and Jezebel. Then another guy, their son comes up, Joram. And as again, Israel is just doing all kind of evil things. Well, then God raises up this guy named Jehu. And Jehu was just like Trump. He was on the left. He supported child sacrifice. He supported these liberal ideas. Then God got a hold of him, shook him up. He's still a warrior. He's still rough around the edges. But he gets in his chariot and he rides through the gates of Samaria. That's the capital of Israel at the time. And he turns Israel back to God. So keep in mind, he's a type of Trump as well. You know, in the Bible, there's paradigms, there's types and figures. The Apostle Paul says that the Old Testament is written for our admonition or our instruction. We can learn from that. So if you're a Christian that says, I can't vote for Trump because of the way he is, to not vote for him is to vote for the other side, even if you don't vote. that's the thing you have to keep in mind. Right now, America's in a balance beam. It's in a teetering spot right now. It's going to go one way or the other, and we're going to lose our freedoms, and we're going to lose them fast. Just the other day, the John Lewis funeral, Obama got up and started talking about the filibuster. They're going to do away with the filibuster. And that means that they can just ram laws through without anybody standing up against it. Another thing they're going to go after is the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. I already mentioned that. Take away guns. They're going to take away the liberties that we have taken for granted for so long if we don't get out there and fight for them. So again, if you're on the fence, so to speak, God has put his hand on Donald Trump. I believe he's a changed man as well, like Stacy was saying. She has friends that know that he has changed. And I actually met a guy just a few weeks ago at our church. A guy that goes to my church met a guy that knows him personally, Donald Trump, and he said he's nothing like the media says he is at all. So again, just keep in mind, God's in control. Stacy said it best, nothing catches God by surprise. He's not sleeping. He's still in control of everything. If you're a person there on the fence about whether or not to turn your life to God, now's the time to do it. Because God has a plan and purpose for each and every person that's on this earth. Anyway, with that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Stacy.
We have such an opportunity. And I think about, wow, in all of time, Walter, God chose us to live right now. And you can look at it two ways. We have an opportunity to be in fear and be afraid and stay in our house locked up because, you know, that's the safest place or so they say, right? But I believe the best way is to walk in faith. And when we face our fear, which I think fear is false evidence appearing real, with faith, when fear knocks on our door and we answer that with faith, we can do great things. And if we have faith just as a mustard seed, we can tell that mountain to move. So whatever it is you're facing today, maybe it's unemployment. And by the way, on the unemployment issue, I have a good friend of mine who finally got a phone call after 20 weeks and found out that, guess what? After they've applied four times, an application on file four times, there's still no file, no application on record. So they're getting that straightened out. So that's good. So maybe they'll get some fundage. and so maybe you're not getting unemployment. Maybe your unemployment's running out. Maybe you're looking for a job. You're not sure what's going on. Whatever your fear that you're facing today, maybe you have a health issue. Maybe you've gotten a diagnosis and you can't get it attended to because of what's going on right now with the medical field. Whatever it is, nothing is too big for God. Nothing's impossible. So we really want to encourage you and bring hope today to you through the message that we're sharing this morning. And we also want you to know it's easy to curse at the darkness and say, this is wrong and that's wrong and Governor Brown this and all of that. But what are we doing about it? We can be a part of the solution, right? You and I together, we are strong and we can be a part of that solution. We make sure that we're registered to vote. Anybody in our circle of influence is registered to vote. If we want to be a part of the recall effort of Governor Brown and let the Oregonians vote for her, if she's to maintain and stay the leader or not, we can be a part of that. We can certainly get involved with the local county offices, the Republican offices. We can help our candidates that are running that are so strong in faith right now that they're running against the entrenched incumbents that have been there forever, right? If we like the way our county and our city and our state is going, you know, we'll just keep voting the same. If we don't, let's be a part of the solution. Let's see some change and revolution happen. I'm excited to live and be in Oregon right now. I hope you are too. And that's my goal is with this show is that we stay encouraged, engaged, educated, and we go and do something together. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that we can use on this wonderful Monday, our last day broadcasting live from the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Together on this wonderful Monday, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. It's going to be a warm day today. temperatures in the 90s. If you're out and about, be sure to wear that sunscreen, drink lots of water. And it is summer after all, right? And so we appreciate the warmth while we have it, but certainly want to stay cool and safe as much as we can. You know, we've been talking, this conversation this morning has been talking about politics and religion, the two things most people say, you know, we probably shouldn't talk about, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. So we tiptoe around, and I maintain that we do need to talk about it. We do need to have a discussion about it so that we have an opportunity to come to some understanding and reason together, right? And there is in Oregon, there's a huge group of unaffiliated. They're just tired of the two extreme, either Republican or Democrats, warring with one another. So they don't want to be pigeonholed in this sense, identified with anybody. With the problem with that, with unaffiliated voters, or sometimes even independents, and I've been registered independent in the past. Now in Oregon, I'm registered as a Republican. The problem with that is that you can't be a part of the primaries. You really aren't part of the discussion. You really can't bring your ideas, your time, treasure, and talent to the table to affect change. And I maintain that if you get involved in a party, then you can bring your experience, your thoughts, your insight, the way that you've been designed to contribute to society. And I think it's important that we be a part of the discussion. So we've been talking about this morning. And one of the things that has been a problem in my mind over the past 50 years is that there's been almost like people of faith have been out of politics. They've not been a part of. It's like, we don't want to dirty ourselves with politics. And so they've left this big gaping hole that's been filled in, right, by culture and the message of culture instead of the message of the Word of God. And in my belief system, I think we need to have the Constitution in one hand and the Bible in the other to help direct our life. And so here's what I found out over the weekend. Maybe you heard about this. You know, Governor Newsom out of California decided that singing was inappropriate even in church, and all these mandates for church. And yet, you know, you can go to Walmart and you can go to other places openly and assemble, and or even go back to college and assemble in it, like a discussion in a forum or in a classroom setting, but yet people can't worship together in church. And John MacArthur, Pastor MacArthur, challenged that, him and his church. They were trying to stop them because they kept assembling, right? He's called by God. A lot of these pastors are in between. They don't know. It's like, well, we need to follow the laws of Caesar. We need to be obedient unto God that way. And yet when it's you stop assembling, and I think that's why fear is filled in, because we have not been able, and yeah, we can do it on Facebook or Zoom or whatever, and that's a form of it. But the part that the assembling together that I believe the instruction is the community part of it, the checking in. You can't really gauge how someone is doing with anxiety or depression or fear over Zoom. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. You can still get the preaching and maybe stir up your faith a little bit, but that community connection is so very important. Walter here with me this morning, he shared his testimony, what God's done in his life. He pastors a small fellowship, Newell, South Dakota. It's in a country area of South Dakota, real remote area. He goes there, travels probably, 45 minutes or so there and back every day to go and preach the good news. And I know that God is using him in a mighty way because of what has happened in his own heart. And he is faith-filled, willing to meet and talk with anybody about these questions of faith. Talk to me a little bit about what pastors, this perspective that pastors just need to get along and go along and follow the law when their rights are being crushed all over the country as far as assembling and leading the people God's given them the responsibility over.
You couldn't have asked me a better question. My real heart right now about the church in America, the church in America has gotten weak. And let me explain that to you. The church in America is a feel-good gospel. What's in it for me? There's two things every person in the world wants, and that's health and prosperity. And most churches are preaching just those two things, health and prosperity. And they don't want to get their hands dirty politically. They don't want to call out sin. They don't want to call out people that are not on God's side. And they do that so they can get these big congregations. Whereas the Bible says that the church should be the pillar and foundation of the truth. And that's not just in Bible teaching. That's in every area of our life and community. The church is there to make a difference. And we've gotten away from that. You know, one of the things I thought of when Stacy was talking is, you know, what the devil meant for harm, God meant for good. And God is raising up people all across this country. Let me give you some examples. In California, you know, she mentioned Gavin Newsom, and he's a radical. I mean, he would like to shut down every church. I heard in San Francisco they were giving drug addicts motel rooms and then giving them money to buy drugs and keeping them loaded and everything else. That's insanity. But let me tell you something God's doing. On the beaches of California, they're having church. Over 5,000 people met at the very first week of August on the beach and had church. Another example is in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, one of the casinos opened up and they had church. See, now religious people say, oh, you can't have church in a casino. That's a bad place. But guess what? God says, I'll meet where my people want to get together and worship me. Same thing with the beach. Who in the world would think we can have church on the beach? God said, show up, worship me, I'll bring the people in. And then I was just thinking about that, how God does things against what we think is the right way to do it. God's looking for people that'll worship him. And the last example I read about was a group of people from a church went into a Walmart and started singing. These were worship leaders. And before you know it, there was hundreds of people gathered around in Walmart to worship God. Again, God can take something that seems insignificant. He can take a little seed and make something big. So right now, I see people going out trying to find places to worship God no matter what the state tells us. And Stacy mentioned that a lot of people are, you know, use this scripture out of context. We're supposed to obey all the governing laws of man, it says in Romans 13. But let me ask you a question. Were we supposed to obey Hitler when he was telling people to, you know, go off to their death? No, the church needs to stand up, and we need to stand up in America and be more bold and courageous. It may cost you a little something, but in the long run, you'll be glad you did it. It's not about you. Remember your children and your grandchildren after you. That's what we need to think about when we're thinking about this next election. What's going to happen if we put more Obamas in this Kamala Harris? She's an extreme radical. She punishes her opponents. Anybody that opposes her, she goes after them viciously, and she rewards those who reward her. That's not the way to do politics. Anyway, I'll give it back to Stacy. I've been really honored to speak today. It's been a real blessing and a joy. Maybe I can come back and visit again sometime.
Thank you, Walter, for being a part of the conversation this morning and bringing your faith-filled encouragement to all of us. And such a great reminder that the scripture I'm reminded of is we're to occupy until he comes. And I think one of the things that have happened out of the, in a sense, a persecution and certainly a binding of churches, we know it, is that pastors and worship leaders and church leaders are thinking out of the box. And they're going out into the community, and we are being the light out in a very dark world. And that's my encouragement to all of us today. Let's go out and give them heaven, right? Give them your smile, give them your kindness, and we will turn our state and our country around. Continuing in faith, no matter what we're coming across today, remember, over, under, around, or through, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back in the studio. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.